Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
It's the turn of the youngsters tonight on Radio Newark Sport. I'm Mick Bradley, and as ever, we start with some of the stories making the national headlines. And in the least surprising news of the week, the Doncaster boss Darren Ferguson has been charged by the Football Association after saying he would shoot League One's appalling referees. The 45-year-old made the comments, of which he later apologised for, following Saturday's draw with Plymouth. Nottinghamshire are considering Australian spinner Nathan Lyons as their overseas player for the upcoming season. The 30-year-old played county cricket for Division 2 champions Worcestershire in 2017 and took 6 wickets in 4 championship matches. Northern Ireland manager Michael O'Neill will open talks with the Scottish FA on Thursday. The 48-year-old has been Scotland's number one target since the departure of Gordon Strachan in October. And Chelsea boss Antonio Conte says that video assistant referee system let his team die after Willem's penalty appeal was rejected during the FA Cup win over Norwich. The system is being trialled in the FA Cup third round, and Conte felt that referee Graham Scott should have been told by the video official to watch the replay after Tim Close's tackle on Willem, but was booked for diving. If you watch the replay, it clearly shows he made contact, Conte said. And Jamaica are sending a women's bobsleigh team to next month's Winter Olympics, 30 years after the country's men's made their first historic appearance. They will be led by Jameen Fentlander, who competed for the USA as a push athlete in Sochi 2014. Jamaica's women will be targeting a top 10 finish, having finished 7th in December's Winterberg World Cup. They could do a film about that, you know. It's a thought, isn't it? And as ever alongside me, Mr. Tony Smith here to pass his varied and sometimes wayward opinions. Going back through those stories, not a surprise that Darren Ferguson got himself in trouble with the FA.
No, you can't really say that, can you?
No, it's pushing it a little bit far.
I mean, you'd like to, but you can't say it.
You can't say it, no. Nathan Lyon, Australian spinner. I mean, last time I was over here, 6 wickets in 4 championship matches is hardly sort of brilliant, but he was an integral part of Australia's team that that won the Ashes. Thoughts on that one?
Yeah, like all Australians are great at home, aren't they? But I think he'll be...
It's also about the best place for them, but that's another...
Well, they'd all still be there if they didn't...
Yes, moving on.
Hadn't have opened prisons here. But no, he's obviously a great spinner, a great cricketer, and
I mean, they've got promotion back to where they belong.
Yeah.
Quite likely to lose Broad for most of the year, and probably Jake Ball, but they're both fast bowlers. So somebody's got to take a lot of wickets.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can judge him on his Worcestershire career. I think he's going to be a valuable addition, and if you're going to get to the top flight, then you want to be making top signings, and you can't beat signing a bloke who's just helped to play a part in winning the Ashes.
So we'll put that one down as a plus then, shall we?
Yeah.
Michael O'Neill, Scotland, they've wanted him from day one, really, haven't they? The Northern Ireland, well, I mean, they've wanted him from the beginning. That's the man that they've decided to go in after. They're taking about as much time as it took Rangers, but
well,
they seem to want, that's the man. Now, is it the man?
He's a good man for the job. He lives in Edinburgh.
That's a start. That's in Scotland, isn't it?
It is, yes. And he lives in Edinburgh, and he also has done a cracking job in Northern Ireland, who are a footballing minnow. Let's see if he can do another one. Another football
rephrase. Yeah, I was just about to rephrase that one. did you watch Chelsea and Norwich?
I listened to it on the radio.
I saw the penalty when Willem went down. Yes, he did go down. And yes, he was just about caught with a feather. There's no need for him to go down. I think the referee, because he went down ridiculously easy. Now, the argument is if you're caught, it's a penalty. You don't have to fall down when you're caught. And he wasn't caught maliciously. He was caught by somebody trying to make a tackle. I'm sorry, I go with the referee on this one. That's the first.
I saw it on the radio. They were both definitely dives.
I mean, the referee's there. He's made up his mind. He's saying, no, I know he's dived. I'm not going. Because if we're not careful about this VAR, we're going to be going to the VAR man every 2 minutes.
Well, I've hated Chelsea since 1970. It's a pity they didn't send off the other nine.
Well, see, this is your problem. Whereas I love everybody, you don't like certain areas and certain people. Whereas I just embrace the world.
I've got nothing against Derby.
Moving on. Yeah, well, that class Derby's part of the world. Jamaica sending a bobsleigh team.
That's great.
To South Korea. What I find even more amusing is that now South Korea and North Korea are jointly walking down with a single flag. 3 months ago, they were going to nuke each other.
Yeah, I think there might be trouble brewing in that department, but the Jamaica story is fantastic because Cool Runnings was a great film and it was based purely on fact, wasn't it? I mean, they did actually practice in a sort of bath with wheels on, going down a hill. Absolutely brilliant. And if Jamaicans can compete in the Winter Olympics, then sport is at its best.
So look out in the cinemas for summer. Cool Running 2.
I think the only thing funnier than that will be England trying to play football in the World Cup.
You're probably right there. A young New York hockey player is aspiring to be the next Adam Dixon. Now, we've worked the next bit out because we've had a word here. Joshua, or Josh Dent, is our studio guest tonight. Now, it's Joshua when he's being told off. So tonight, because he's our young star, it's Josh Dent. So, welcome, Josh, to Radio Newark.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's very welcome. I remember you when you was carrying Sally Halfpenny's team to glory on a Saturday afternoon with bucket loads of goals. You've moved on to Boots. You're going to tell us all about that. And you've got an international call-up as well. And you're going to tell us all about that a little later. What we want to know at the beginning, in a few minutes' time, is why hockey. I think I know, but let's find out what I think might be a very nice story. We're also going to talk to Charles Pavey. He's the manager of the Newark Rugby Club Under 14 Boys. And they have just qualified for the NLD final. So, fantastic achievement there. And Charles is going to join us on the phone at 20 past seven. But next up, the local headlines. And Newark Striders Running Club held their awards evening, and amongst the gongs handing out, the most improved male, John Rawson. Improved female, Zara Scott. Andy Scott was the male strider, and Donna Beveridge, the female strider of the year. Richard Sheldrake was victorious in the Woodall Spa Duathlon, coming home fastest in both the runs and the cycling. A busy weekend for Not Fast saw 51 no less park runners, 38 at the East Midlands Cross Country Championships, and Adam Holland doing a moonlight 10k in Exeter. Probably wasn't supposed to be in Exeter, but that's where it was. Local football last night saw a spirited Newark Town lose by a single goal to Retford at Station Road. Good performance, I think, that.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
Young hockey talent that he's got his eyes on an Olympic spot after being elected for the Great Britain's college squad. Josh Dent, 16 years old. And I can't believe it was 2-3 years ago you was playing for Newark and scoring all them goals.
Yeah,
right. you're old before you're old. 16-year-old of Coddington is one of 22 players who's made it through to the national tries at Cannock for selection. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. As we've said, a former Newark Hockey Club striker. Lots and lots to talk about. So let's get right back to the beginning, Josh. Why hockey?
Well, my brother, ever since we were young, every sport that he had to sort of partake in, I had to do it and be better at it. So, swimming, he'd do his 1,500 and I'd get the 2,000 metres. And then, same with hockey, he sort of branched out as I carried on. But I turned out to actually love the sport instead of just want to beat my brother.
I'm going to like this interview.
Your brother, eh?
I think your brother's not listening, is he? No. Hockey's in the family, though, isn't it?
Just from my brother, I believe.
What about mother?
She plays now.
Come on, mate.
She plays now, but she started last year as a keeper. So, complete polar opposites.
Let's talk to mother. Why on earth would a lady want to take up hockey and then, of all things, play in goal? I mean, I know you've got the padding, but, crikey, it's...
You have got to be bit reckless.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
I think she'd agree. She's not one to back down from, you know, a one-to-one. She'd go to the floor and take them out with the ball. She's not.
I'm already scared of his mother.
So if she says wash up, you wash up then?
I'll put them in the dishwasher. I wouldn't say hand wash.
What I mean, it's unusual, isn't it, that the parents follow in the son's footsteps into sport. It's not... We've sat here week in, week out, and it's the other way around. And I was confident sitting here tonight, I expect to say, oh, mum's played for Newark Hockey Club for the last 20 years, and that's why I joined.
No. My brother, yeah, as I said, started it off, and then ever since, probably 4 years ago, mum's always been interested in doing it. She kept going to sort of the mixed summer Wednesday nights at Newark, and then she finally found the courage to start it, and she's now ladies force. So
good stuff. Let's go back to Barnby Road, because you're a Barnby Road boy as well, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
So you're back on your old school here.
Yeah, changed a bit.
Even if you didn't recognise it. I'll keep reminding you, we are talking to a 16-year-old here, not a 36-year-old. Oh, hang on, there's more.
I'm 17.
You're 17 now, are you? Yeah. He's 17
Christmas
now.
All right.
Yeah. Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, yeah.
Oh, is that hard?
No, it's all right. I mean, we split it up, so in the morning it's Christmas, and then but it's still my birthday, so everyone says happy birthday, but then it's still Christmas. And then when it hits about 4 o'clock is when I do my birthday cards and birthday presents. So
that's good, isn't it?
Splits the day up.
Did you play hockey when you was at Barnby Road then?
I did, yeah. Mr. Evely, not here now, unfortunately, but I've still got a brilliant head in Mr. Chamberlain. But
yeah, I'm scared of him as well. Yeah.
I would be. Mr. Evely was keen to get me sort of straight in. I think I was in year 4 playing with the year 6s in down at Magnus, playing against the local Chit Reed, John Hunt, and yeah.
Just sort of take about it, when did you decide it was hockey and not football or rugby? Because I mean, most boys don't they want to play football or want to play rugby, and for a boy to say, no, I'm going to play hockey, did you get a bit of stick about it?
I think, me personally, I think everyone sort of... I was all right at football, but everyone sort of knew that I was a little bit better at hockey than football. And as soon as I hit the 13-year-old stage, I could then play senior level in hockey. And then my dad was the manager of the football team as well. So when I sort of went off to play in the men's team for hockey, that's when my football sort of stopped. And my dad,
I like that about hockey, because if you're good enough at 13, and I saw this young talent at 13 and he was good enough, you get your opportunity. In I can't think of many other team sports that they let you do that, but in hockey, if you're good enough, you're out there, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Newark helped me a lot with that, because throughout the junior sort of under 14s, under 12s, everything like that, they really do help you. But the men's side, they, even when I was just turned 13, Sally was eager to get me in and training with the men's threes. And then Andy McMunn, who was the captain of the men's threes at the time, he really wanted me to start playing for the threes as well. So they really promote starting young, and there's no reason why not to, because it gets you ready for that competitiveness that you will get in the higher teams. So
once you'd got down there, it wasn't that long before you was playing first team hockey, was it?
No, I did play one season for the... Sorry. A season and a half for the men's threes, and then I went straight up to the ones with Sally. So...
Sally Halfpenny is a coach.
Yes.
And she will be listening, so be careful.
She's a lovely woman. I've always said she's a lovely woman.
You had a go at her, don't you? You're not women out of it. In your progression to where you are now,
yeah,
where do you hold Sally?
At a prime point, because she's not only helped me progress in my playing, she's also now helping with my coaching as well. So even though I've left Newark and started to play for another club, I'm still helping her with Ladies Force coaching.
You do come back and coach, and I want to talk about that one a little bit later, because I think that's absolutely fantastic. You're putting something back into the sport already, yeah, at the tender age of 17.
Yeah.
I have problems with ages.
Yeah. It started off the programme 16, but, you know, it does age you, doesn't it, mate?
It ages you quickly on here. Working with you, 80 is enough to age anybody.
It does age you. You only looked about 80 when we started this show.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. when are you having time off?
Monday.
That season, the last season, when you scored how many?
29 in season and then 2 in the cup.
So you do keep count?
I still keep count, yeah.
And so you should as well. And over that summer then, Boots came in for you, a bigger club, and...
Yeah.
I'm sure you thought about it. I'm sure you spoke to Sally and Paul, and you can tell us all about that when we come back and talk to the second part of your career, when you've got to Boots, and then what we hope for in the future. But coming up next, we're going to try and get hold of Charles Pavey and talk about the Newark Rugby Club under-14s and their NLD final. The first team may not have had such a successful day at Kenham Road on Saturday, but the weekend was actually made for Newark Rugby Club, with the under-14 boys progressing to the NLD final. We're joined on the phone now for the first time on Radio Newark Sports, so a very, very warm welcome to Charles Pavey, the manager of the under-14s. Charles, good evening. Thank you for joining us. I know you're busy tonight and you're taking time out of a busy schedule to have a chat to us.
No problem at all.
Let's go straight to Sunday morning and the semi-final against West Bridgeford. Just talk us through the game, if you can.
Yeah, well, we actually got off, as seems to be usual for us, we got off to quite a slow start. So in the first few minutes, we were a try down pretty quickly. And then we didn't really touch the ball for about another 10 minutes. But then the boys certainly got into gear and... We ended up quite convincing winners. We were 33-7 up at half-time and then scored another try in the second half to make it 40-7.
So in the end, it was sort of very convincing. The under-14s that you've got there, have you sort of followed them through as the age group? You stayed with them. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, that's generally the way it works. So I started off coaching them at about 6 years of age, so the under-7s. And I'll take them all the way through to Colts, along with, I'm very fortunate to have another 7 coaches, actually, who help out, and all pretty experienced at rugby. So yeah, and it's been absolutely brilliant watching them develop from 5 or 6 year old into, well, I mean, officially we still call them boys, but really, given that 5 or 6 of them are well over 6 foot, boys doesn't seem to be the right name, really.
I'm led to believe this is the first time that this particular group of lads have actually reached an NLD final. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, we're actually always the first year of what's called the new rules of play. So a number of years ago, the RFU changed how the boys progressed through rugby. So there's a large degree of non-competitiveness until you get to the under-14s now. So this is actually the first time we've played competitive rugby for a cup. So it's brilliant to get to the final.
How did they? What's the excitement for the lads? Did they sort of take? I mean, we the NLD for people that don't know out there, Nottinghamshire, Lincolnshire, and Derbyshire. So it's massive catchment area. So it's a massive competition to reach the final of.
Oh absolutely, and you know, there's a lot of very senior teams in the competition. So, for example, Nottingham, you know, the junior side of Nottingham Rugby, they're in the competition as well. So. So to reach the final, really, is quite an achievement for the boys, and we're all immensely proud of them.
We've spoke on this show on countless occasions about the junior rugby setup at Kelham Road. It is, well, it's one of the top six in the country, but that's on record.
It's superb, yes.
Your group, the first Newark team, I think, this time round to reach the prestigious finals day, so you're a bit of a flagship for them, so there's plenty of pressure on them. Can they take the pressure?
Oh, the boys will just take it in their stride. They are very confident, but they're also very humble with it as well, so they don't tend to get overexcited, although when that final whistle went on Sunday, they were absolutely ecstatic, of course.
So they should be. We're not sure who you're playing or where the finals day, because they generally have a finals day, don't they? Play more than one match on a ground. I think last year everything was at Derby, so one would assume that it's probably going to be Lincolnshire or Nottinghamshire this year.
I don't know who exactly we're going to be playing. I think it's going to be either Keyworth or Derby. I think they tend to do the matches. So we're in the Cup, which is the senior competition, then there's the Shield and the Plate, and I think they do tend to do consecutive matches all at the same venue on the same day, which I think is in the second week of February.
And will they be all turning up in their shirts and ties?
That they yes, absolutely. So the boys turn up and get changed, and then after the match, they've got to be in the number ones.
I just think that's wonderful, because it just makes it special.
Absolutely. So the boys, when they transition from minis to youth rugby, the club president presents them all with their club tie, and you know, generally at the end of the season we have a big barbecue and everything, and the boys just would not take their ties off. It was their badge of honour, actually.
You should be proud of playing the club, to play for the club that you're doing. That's exactly what they are. What is it this week, Charles? Is it back to training this week?
We've actually got a very difficult game away at Doncaster. They managed to just edge us last season, actually. So we'll be looking to go up there and get a bit of revenge. But they're a good bunch of lads up at Doncaster, actually. We always enjoy playing against them.
Do you find it difficult to get the transport to go to away games? Because it's not exactly on the doorstep, but are your parents are a good bunch?
I have to say, I think the parents are exceptional. So, we have a very large squad, and it just constantly amazes me the commitment of the boys and the parents to attend training and the numbers they do. We regularly have 30 down for midweek training, and we regularly have 30 down for Sunday training, and there are absolutely no shortage of people who will make the effort to go to places like Doncaster.
Absolutely fantastic.
35 available for the match, actually, on this coming Sunday.
That's a headache, then.
It is a headache, but it's one that I'll quite happily deal with.
Thank you, Charles, for joining us, for telling us a bit about the under-14s. Have we got a... I don't want to pick many players about, but have we got a couple that we're going to look out for that's going to go all the way through to the first team?
I think every one of them within that squad has the potential to play for Newark 13, most definitely. And I think you'll see a number of them maybe go on to representative rugby as well.
Fantastic. One thing that sticks out in my mind, that Alan Swain told us last weekend, the match before the Lincoln match, which was Ilkeston away, 14 out of the 18 players on duty for Newark first team had come through the youth ranks. So they're going to get the opportunity, aren't they?
Well, that's, you know, ultimately, that's what we want. We want to have a strong youth section at Newark Rugby Club to provide quality players for the Newark first team, you know, to go onwards and upwards at a senior level.
Best run club, best facilities. They really should enjoy it, and you've told us a wonderful story tonight that they do enjoy it. Charles, we'll catch up with you again sometime when we find out where and when it is. We'll even try and get out there to have a look at it for you, but certainly we'll have you and some of the boys in the studio just before or just after that final.
That'll be wonderful.
Love it. Charles Bailey, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Newark Sport.
My pleasure.
Thanks you. Bye. Newark Rugby Club there. That's the first final that they've reached, and I'm sure it won't be the only final that their junior sections reach before the season's out. You're listening to Radio Newark Sport with me, Mick Bradley, with him, Tony Smith, and with our special guest, hockey sensation, Josh Dent. And we've got to the stage now where he's scored, as he told you, and I forgot already. Go on, tell us again.
For what? Which
the last season that you played for Newark?
29 goals.
29 goals. If you score 29
and
goals...
And two in the cup.
And two in the cup.
You remembered.
if you score 29 goals in a season, in any sport, somebody is going to come looking for you, aren't they? You are going to get noticed.
You can call it 31, can't you, really?
Yeah, let's call it 31. You score 31 goals in a season, somebody, one of the big boys, are coming to get noticed. Now, as much as it hurt Paul, and I had this conversation during that summer, as much as it hurt Paul, it was the right move for Josh Dent. And that, at the end of the day, this is what we're thinking about. This is what Newark Hockey Club are thinking about, that this young man has got the potential to go higher. So he's got to leave, as much as it pains, he's got to leave Newark Hockey Club to do it.
We've had the same conversation with Newark Rugby Club, haven't we?
Yeah. You know,
as long as you remember fondly the club where you started.
The idea
is to climb the ladder, isn't it?
It's got to be. Now, just talk us through that summer then, because you sort of finished, I know you play summer hockey, but when did the Boots connection come about, or how did it come about?
Well, that season I sort of went for the Nottinghamshire men's county squad as well, and within that squad, Adam Innocent, who is now my captain at Boots, we got talking and spoke about which club were within that squad, and there was Newark, because Alex Davies and James Wakefield was in the squad, and West Bridgeford was there, and a couple from Belper, but that was never sort of on the table, but Adam was from Boots and a couple others were as well, and I spoke to him more in depth about it, and the more and more we spoke about it, I took a liking to it, and next thing I know, papers were being printed and playing Summer League, and then
now
signed.
Let's just do a bit of sort of geography work on all this now. Ooh. At the time, Newark was playing in the East Midlands Division 1, I think, because they then moved up to the Premier League. Yeah. They was playing in the East Midlands Division 1. The top side in the county are Beeston.
Yeah.
In fact, probably one of the top two or three sides in the country are Beeston.
Yeah.
Take Beeston out of the equation for the time being. Boots is the next highest level in this county, is that correct?
I don't know whether Belper's
in Derbyshire, they don't count.
Nobody
in Derbyshire counts.
I would say Boots is going to be. At the minute, I would say West Bridgeford, purely because they're in the league above. They're in Mids Prem, and we're in Midlands 1. But, touch wood, I would say we are promotion bound again.
Well, Alex Davies tells me it's a racing certainty.
Oh, I don't want to jinx
it.
Yeah. I don't want to be the one, oh, he said that, and then it's looking likely.
So Boots was how many steps up from New York? Probably two, three?
The last season that I played for Newark, we, as you said, we was in East Midlands 1, and Boots were in the league above, East Mids Prem, and they got promoted from that division up to Midlands 2, sorry. So it was two leagues above after I joined.
So you went, you played summer hockey. Now Paul tells me summer's a time to rest, but a lot of you Sally tells me so. A lot of you actually do continue to play through the summer, but it's not the same intensity, is it?
Yeah, it is different. Some people do like the break in the summer. I would say probably only about 5% of the people that I know, because summer's more relaxed and no one really takes it that serious. Obviously, you've got some teams from sort of Peterborough who always put in very good teams in every single competition, and they do perhaps take it a bit too serious sometimes. But like, it's just the time to try something new and see if you can then try it and then perfect it ready for the season.
I mean, when you're 16 at the time, going on 17 that he is now, you want,
well recovered,
you want to play your sport or more year round, don't you? You don't want to have a rest from it, do you? When you're sort of Paul's age, late 20s, you do, you know. I like him. You do want a rest, don't you?
But no, it's if I can use the analogy of the Scottish football scene, the Premiership have taken a winter break. They stopped playing on New Year's Day, and they come back this Saturday.
You know, I've not noticed.
And it's been as boring as hell. It's just, you know, I wouldn't like a winter break if I was a sportsman. I'd like to carry on playing.
Yeah.
You know, just, and it doesn't matter what age you are. I mean, I can understand at the very top level of professional football, you need a break to rejuvenise the body. But, you know, I think if it was brought into this country in football, then the fans would very quickly get bored without it.
So we've had the summer hockey, and you signed the papers.
Yeah.
The next big thing is, how the heck do you get to Nottingham every week?
My dad.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Was this one sort of thought out in advance?
No.
I mean, it's easy to get to Newark.
I mean, that was the conversation that I did have with him when I spoke to my mum and dad about the move that I was thinking about, and they said, wherever you go, they'll support me 100%. Even if it was with a club that they didn't agree with. And Dad has always, I think I can count on one hand how many games he's missed, but training, he can't wait for me to start driving. He said, He'll drive me to training until I pass my test, and then he'll stop, but he won't stop coming to the games. So.
Because obviously you're playing at a decent standard, so do you have to train, what, once a week, twice a week?
It's once a week, every Tuesday, 8 till 10, at Lady Bay.
So it's every, and then it's Midlands hockey. How do Boots go to away matches? Is it cars, or is it, do you have your own coach? Are you that posh?
No, we're not that posh. Apart from last season, we had our final game of the season. It was between Boots and Stratford, who could only get promotion because Hampton and Arden already secured their place, and we needed 3 points or 1 point, and Stratford needed 1 point to be promoted. And that day we all booked a minibus to go from Nottingham to Stratford. And I won't get into the details of what happened after, but...
No, because you was only 16 at the time.
Oh, no. yes. but our vice-captain...
Coca-Cola mom.
...did mess up our way back.
Oh, right. So that yeah. Yeah, okay, right. Did you win?
We did win.
That's all
we
that matters. Don't matter when 1-0, you get back. Yeah. Nothing else matters. You won.
It was the right...
So
right
you can celebrate well. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Not quite Nottingham, but some...
Stratford.
In Stratford. Fair enough. But somewhere. So that's brilliant. So it's all going well.
Yeah.
It's all going well at Boots. And the question that Tony wants me to ask you is how many goals have you scored this season?
Well, this season is a bit shaky because I've only scored 4 for the ones. Because I've been injured. so I had 9 weeks off.
9?
Yeah. I broke, displaced, fractured in my scaphoid. And that took...
That's his hand, Tony. He pointed to his hand.
It's the base of the thumb, Mick, I think you'll find.
Okay, right. Hand.
It was going like that.
we know some stuff, we do.
So then it took me a while to climb back through the ladder. So I had spoke with my coach and we came up with a program to go by, and I played sort of 3 games for the men's threes and then once for the twos, and then that's when I went back in to the ones for a cup game against, I did forget the team that we played.
moving swiftly on, Josh.
Stato.
We won, though. We won. I know that.
Was it hockey injury then?
Yes. Yeah. It was pretty basic, to be fair. I just fell over and then my stick was still in my hand, and then I went to catch myself and it popped out. And then it really hurt after the game. So we thought
in your long hockey career now, because it is a fairly long hockey career. What,
13 years.
Have you had any sort of national... I mean, I go down and watch Newark, and there are times when some of the injuries that you see is just...
It makes
you just turn away. And
yeah. I can't say I've had any long-term. That's probably my longest one. The only other one that I can think of is when I played in an under-16s game. Sally Halfpenny was our coach for that one. And this massive... He was like... He must have been 6'4", centre-back, and he was taking a 16, last 5 seconds, and he just creamed it, absolutely smashed it, and right on my kneecap. Ooh. I jumped for it as well. Thought I missed it, and yeah, Sally said to this day she can still hear the crack that it made. But I was only off for about 3 days and I was back, so it was all right.
Sadly, is your action. If you can limp, get on with it. So it's all going well there. So you're now going to take part in an age group competition with teams from across the country, starting with the England under-18s. Just explain the story behind that and what's all... Because it sounds very, very exciting.
So, it wouldn't have been possible if I didn't go to Newark College. Because Newark, Lincoln, Gainsborough, they're all in this trust, if you will, called AOC. And we form sort of the Great British Colleges squad. And people travel to Cannock 3.5 hours, some 6 hours with traffic from London Way. And we trained, it was more of a trial, and we got the selection on the day, and we're now playing England under-18s on the 4th of March, I believe.
So this is for the regional college team, or what's the actual team called that you're going to be playing for?
Great Britain colleges.
Great Britain colleges. So you've actually got through to... He's too modest by half, this lad is. You've actually got through to the final 20, then, of the Great British colleges hockey players.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Oh, you should be shouting from the rooftops.
Thank you.
You really should. It's a fantastic achievement. And so the Great British College team is going to be playing the England under-18s.
Yeah. On the 4th of March, we've got our training squad, training day at Lindum in Lincoln. On the 21st of February for 2 days. And then after the England fixture, we've then got Wales and Scotland as well. But they haven't been sort of finalised on a date.
I mean, that
yet.
Is something to look forward to big time, isn't
yeah.
it?
Right,
I'm just making a note in the old diary. 4th of March.
It makes for good radio, mate.
You know, it makes me to remember to when to ring him back to find out how he got on. This takes it up to a whole new level, though, Josh, doesn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Some of the England under-18s lads I do know, because I went through the single system with probably 5 or 6 of them. One of them, Rohan, he played for Leicester and he's now playing for Loughborough Uni. So, Loughborough student, sorry, who's in the National League. And to play against players like that, it would just bring a different level of thought to the game.
We'll just change stance a little bit because time's moving on like it always does here. You are back at Acton Newark and you're doing some coaching. And I know Paul's very proud that a 17-year-old lad is coming back and doing some coaching. What's the thinking behind that? Because you're obviously out at Boots one night a week. You're playing hockey on the Saturday, so you've now given another night of the week up to do some coaching. What's the reasoning behind that?
I can't stay away. I'm not going to lie. I can't stay away. Any chance to pick up a stick and knock a ball around and would be great. But just to help people more is... Obviously, playing will be always on top, always first priority. But if I can help people progress, then it's always a bonus. So on Wednesdays, I'm down helping Sally with the ladies' fours. And then on Sunday, I help the juniors under 14 girls. And then I sort of do, with Alex Davies, a sort of small group targeted advanced skills sort of thing. So just to give the ones that need that bit more of a push and can access the skills, that would be great to put on into a Saturday game, would just be really good. I think it's going well.
So it seems like sort of years away to you now, but come the day when you actually have to hang up your stick, then it opens up a whole
hopefully
new
never.
Yeah, but it opens up a whole new coaching career, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I do like helping, teaching new skills. Like the girls and boys that me and Alex coach, they said that they never thought that they'd be able to do some of the stuff that we both have taught them. And to be able to say that we did teach them that is pretty cool.
Oh, it's fantastic for a young man. I really do. And we're going to find out in a few minutes what the future holds before he packs up playing hockey.
That might have been a bit premature on my part. Yeah.
What the future holds for Josh Dent. And we're also going to have a quick look at what the future holds for the sport this weekend. Okay, it's time for our look at what's happening in the world of Newark sport this weekend. We start on Friday. It's the Rugby Club Senior Colts against Lincoln, 7 o'clock at Kellam Road. And let's just hope that they can do what the first team couldn't do. But to say, if you want to go on, if you're not doing anything on Friday, Kellam Road, watching rugby under floodlights is brilliant. It really... I'll turn you... I didn't think you was going to speak. Do you want to speak now? Shall I turn it up then? It's up now. There is so you can speak.
There's nothing better than Friday night sport because you have a cracking night on the Friday and you've still got all the weekend in front of you.
Yeah, it's absolutely lovely. So Kelham Road on Friday night is the start of the sporting weekend for us. Football on Saturday sees Newark Town go up to Doncaster to play Bentley. That's not going to be easy either, but they gave Bentley a good run for the money, got a draw out of them, I think, the other week. Bentley's a good team, though. If they've come back from Bentley with a draw, then it will be worth celebrating. Collingham are at home to Dinnington Town. That's the one I'm going to go along and have a look at Station Road, 3 o'clock kickoff. While Flowserve are at Wootherton. This is the first of two trips to Wootherton for them in the league on Saturday, and then in a couple of weeks' time to go back there in the quarterfinals of the League Cup. Not easy. This will test them. I don't think they've been at the best for a couple of weeks.
I've never been. What's it like?
Nice. If the weather's nice, it's nice.
Yeah?
It's adjacent to the cricket ground. Pavilion's a fair way off. It's an old-fashioned wooden pavilion.
Have they got a bar?
Yes, you'll be all right.
Ah, spot on.
You won't even see the game. Don't worry.
I'll hear about it. I'm back on Wednesday.
So, Flowserve's at trip to Wootherton. They are going to have to be on the game on that one because Wootherton are no mugs. No, really not. They might have beaten, I think, 4-0 up at Lowfields. But as the season goes on, Wootherton tend to get stronger. They always have done.
I think Santa was saying last night, the Flowserve chairman, that if we beat Wootherton, that's another team out of the equation in terms of title rivals.
Yes, I do. I'd love his maths. They've won it. Rugby! Back to rugby. And it's the National Cup. As Mr. Rugby tells us, they're only three games off Twickenham.
Yeah.
But they have to go near enough to Wales. They're going to Whitchurch in Shropshire, which is a long way off. It's 103 miles, according to Rob Satnav. Newark actually got beat, didn't they, in the last round, only to find out that Ilston from Coventry had played a ringer.
According to Adam Holland Satnav, it's 403 miles, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's going to be a long day out for them, and... what time in the evening they get back is anybody's guess.
Well, if they win, it certainly is.
It certainly is anybody's guess. So they're going to Whitchurch, and we wish them the best of luck. It's the County Championships. It's the first weekend of that. And remember, Neil Bilton was telling us about it. Neil's on the phone again this coming week. Amelia Gibson, Frankie Ward, Jess Reid, Becky Franks, Jamie Love and Angus McCallion are among the Newark youngsters that's going swimming on behalf of Newark Swimming Club at the County Championships. Hockey. The men are at home to Leicester Westerly. 2 o'clock start at the Magnus. Paul says they're going to win this one. They badly need to win. A couple of victories, and, you know, they're off up the table. It sounds ridiculous, but a couple of victories, and they're off at the table. And this is a game that they could win. Ladies' first team at home against West Bridgeford at 10:30. That's a friendly as they get geared up to the second part of the season. The ladies' threes, Paul's pet project... they're at Worksop with an 11 o'clock kickoff, and the ladies' fours are at Arnold for a 9:30 kickoff. You've got to get yourself up early on Saturday morning.
I do. I'm coaching.
You're coaching it? Brilliant.
Yeah. Have fun.
9:30,
that's what I thought.
Dear.
Dear me.
On Sunday, it's the Athletics. It's the last Sports Hall League. And the rugby under 18 and under 15 girls are going to Castleford, or as Jess Brand tells us, Castleford.
Does she?
Yes, Castleford.
I've never heard it pronounced like that.
Exactly. What's termed in my list as a friendly? No. Absolutely not a cat in hell's chance that was going to be a friendly.
I thought that was the game we were going to.
It was, but I'm actually now going to Lowfields because it's the Memorial match, isn't it? The forecast on Sunday is absolutely dire.
Is it?
It starts to rain at 9 o'clock in the morning, according to this, and at 6 o'clock at night, it's still raining. So we might just have the option. Let's hope it's wrong because...
Yeah.
Matt and Sully and all the others have put an awful lot of work into this.
Well, weather forecasts are generally a bloke with a piece of paper and a pen and a coin, aren't they? You know, so I mean, like, sort of, we should be all right.
Which brings me to the question is, what's the difference between the weather forecaster and the sports editor?
I don't know. What is the difference?
They just guess at what they're doing, don't they?
Oh, yeah, that's his link.
So that's their weekend. We already know what... Josh Dent is doing at 9:30. What, you got to be there by the start.
Yeah.
That's got to be, what, an eight o'clock departure from here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crikey.
Oh, no.
The coach doesn't seem so keen now.
No.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, of course you are. Yeah, you can tell you're looking. Yeah. So where are Boots playing this weekend? Hopefully at home.
We're away.
Oh.
At Old Hilsonians. So,
right. Any ideas where that is?
Birmingham Way, I believe. But I can't be sure.
So what's your Saturday then? Because this makes for a very busy Saturday.
It is a very busy Saturday. So we'll go to Arnold, coach there, and then go straight from Arnold to Old Hillsonians. And then we've got to be there for 12:30 and for a 1:30 push. So we'll be back at roughly around... Let me do the math.
Tea time.
Probably about 5-ish.
Is Alex Davis still the worst timekeeper in the club?
He's pretty bad.
Yeah.
He's got better, though. He has improved a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit.
He used to pay more fines for being late. Then he used to blame stepdad all the time.
He's rolling sixes now in fines. The lucky sod. We've got a dice system. So if you roll a one, that's £1 on top of your normal fines. But if you roll a six, you're exempt.
Really?
Yeah, and he's been rolling sixes
quite
a lot.
Yeah, that's the Alex Davis I know. Fluke. Yeah.
Fluke.
I'm not shocked.
What a great system, though.
Yeah. I wish I could have it. Well, I think my dad wishes I could have it.
Would you like hockey to take you? Where can it take you? Where can Josh Dent, and can Josh Dent be the next Adam Dixon?
I would love to be. Well, obviously, I'm not going to be the same same person.
No,
I'd love to do.
Are you our next international in hockey?
I'd hope so.
That would be lovely.
It would be. I'd love to just do a handful of things that he's done. Like, he played in India, in the Indian Premier League, and that would be amazing, just to do that. But he isn't playing for Beeston, obviously, but he went to 3 Olympics, and just to do one would be, like, an outstanding achievement for me. But...
It'd be nice for us to go, wouldn't you?
2024 is my aim. In the paper, it was sort of, you had to read about it. Like, I think the headline sort of was very misleading in the terms of it could have been 2020, but it's 2024.
And where is the Olympics in 2024?
No clue.
Not somewhere nice and hot, know. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I hope so.
In the short term future, we're still with Boots?
It will be questionable, because if we keep going like we're going, then I have no doubt,
yeah.
Because it's a strong squad. But whether I'd want to maybe play in a different area in terms of my job, because I want to go into the RAF as a PTI, and wherever I'm...
So that's going to dictate, isn't it? At the end of the day, that's going to... Of course, you could also pay for the... For the RAF itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's looking like the most likely option. But if I was put in RAF Waddington or not Cranwell because it's training, but if I was put in Waddington, then I would try.
We're about out of time, Josh. I've got to cut you off, mate. I'm absolutely fascinated. Josh Dent, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Best of luck. We'll talk to you soon. We love you.